trucks skidded us sideways. No, Janet, she snapped. Just no. Gabrielle peered through the cab's open back window. Come on. What am I going to do skulking around here by myself? You should be keeping an eye on me, Janet. Maya answered before I could. You can go home to Janet's grandmother. Aren't you supposed to be there anyway? Gabrielle rolled her eyes. Ruby is doing nothing but fussing over Pete's wedding. If I go home, I'll have to run errands and clean the house, which is pristine already. She switched her dark gaze to me. Your grandmother is truly out of control. My father, Pete Begay, planned to marry Gina Tsatsi, the lady he'd fall in love with later this month. Grandmother, thrilled Dad was marrying a respectable, ordinary woman after all these years, was going overboard with preparations. They'd have a traditional wedding with all the trimmings, with a special hogan being built for the occasion. Grandmother called me often, not to ask my opinion, but to regale me with all the things she expected me to do. I couldn't blame Gabrielle for not wanting to be in the middle of the chaos of home. I sighed to Maya. If we don't let her come, she'll follow us, or make things go wrong with the truck until she catches up. Easier to bring her along. Maya gripped the steering wheel. You keep her under control, then. If she gets herself into trouble, I'm ditching her. You too. I'm not wasting my weekend chasing her around. She spoke from experience. Gabrielle and I shared a mother, a malevolent goddess of beneath, who was as crazy as she was powerful. Gabrielle had inherited her magic and also some of her insanity. Yay! Gabrielle punched the air, then sank into the bed, resting her back on the cab. We're going to have so much fun. Maya sent me a dark look, but she stepped on the gas, and we flowed out onto the desert highway, heading west, a stream of reddish dust rising in our wake. Things went well at first. The drive, which I always liked, took us through Flagstaff with its high mountains and soaring pines, and then down a long hill back to the desert, the sheer cliffs and rocks calling to me. It was October, the air crisp and cool, but still warm enough to enjoy. We turned north at Kingman and moved through ever more barren land along the Colorado River to the new bridge that soared nearly 1,000 feet above the river from cliff to cliff. We drove into the afternoon sun to the glitter on the horizon that was Las Vegas. The city had grown even since I'd been there a year or so ago. It spread farther across the valley floor every year, flowing out toward the 11,000-foot mountains on its edge. Businesses and houses sprawled in a tangle, but the draw for outsiders was the long road of towering hotels, now gleaming under powerful sunshine that offered every entertainment imaginable. Gabrielle had remained quiet during the ride, hunkering down in the back to sleep. As we pulled into the parking garage of the hotel, she popped up again, leaping out of the back as soon as Maya stopped. Maya had reserved one room for two people. I thought we'd have to pay extra for Gabrielle, but by the time Maya and I reached the desk to check in, Gabrielle had completely vanished. I mean, literally. One second there, the next second, gone. We didn't mention her. Got our room keys and headed up to the 15th floor. Gabrielle waited for us near the door. She leaned against the wall, arms folded, a little smile on her face. Maya stalked past her and stuck the key into the slot. How did you know which room we'd get? Gabrielle shrugged. I made the computer kick out the room number I wanted and scooted up here to wait for you. You can do that? I asked as we entered the room. Sure. Can't you? I chose not to answer. Gabrielle can work quiet and subtle things with her magic I can't begin to comprehend. I could do tiny spells to unlock doors, or I could destroy small towns. Anything in between was difficult for me. The computer had given us a suite.